Hallelujah. The last time I spoke, we began a new teaching series just a couple of weeks ago. And the title of the series that we're looking at the moment is Breaking Free from Containment. Breaking Free from Containment. You know, this word containment means, and we touched on it last time, but it means to control something or prevent something from moving, increasing, or expanding. And it's often used in connection with something like a fire. You might hear on the news reports that the fire brigade, what they say, they contained the fire, particularly if it's a forest fire. They have their containment measures to keep the fire from spreading. Again, a few years ago, you might remember the big oil disaster out just off the coast of America somewhere, where the BP platform was just spewing oil out into the sea, millions of gallons every day. You know, they do all they can to try and contain the spillage. You know, they put these floating booms on the water to try and contain the oil from spreading. So this word contain means to stop some or control something and to prevent it from moving, increasing, or extending. You know, God spoke to us at the beginning of the year that this was going to be a year of enlarging our territory, our borders, and that we would move into bigger and better and greater things in God. And as we are running into the closing months of this year, I just want to look at a verse of scripture. Now, if I tell you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54, you'll remember that we spent months looking at Isaiah 54 when we were looking at the covenant of peace from verse 10. But we're looking, in this series of teaching, we're looking at the beginning of Isaiah 54. Verses 1, 2, and 3. And what we're doing as we look through these verses, we're going to see that we can break free from containment. You know, too often we become contained, a little bit like those booms that they put on the oil, or when they start to control the fire from spreading. You know, too often we can become contained by things that are going on in our lives. You know, certain things prevent us from moving on and going forward. Now, that it could be a number of things. It could be our feelings. It could be our fears. It could be past experience. It could be situations that we face. But they prevent us from going forward and moving on. You know, we like things because it's the way we are. We like things to be just comfortable. We don't like anything that's uncomfortable. We don't like change. We like things to be just right. We don't like anything that will rock our boat and cause us to get agitated. You know, I think I told you last time about Joanna, when we were out on holiday once in the island of Malta. We went out to visit it's called the Blue Grotto. You can only access it by boat, a little rowing boat, because it's a little cave on the edge of, or in the cliffs, in the rock face. But inside, it's completely blue. It's a turquoise blue. The sea is so transparent. And we took this little boat ride out. You know, and Joanna's never been a lover of boats. But this particular boat, you know, because we were sailing so close to the cliff edge, the rock edge, as the waves came in, because obviously we got rocked on the wave, but then the wave hit cliff face and then bounced back and hit the boat a second time. You know, this boat was rocking backwards and forwards. And Joanna, she screamed and she hated the wind. But none of us like things like that. None of us like our boat to be rocked, especially in life. You know, when perhaps we can take one beating, something happens. But then when the rebound comes and knocks it again, and it just continues like that, backwards and forwards, we certainly don't like that. But what we find is, if we focus on the boat being rocked, we focus on the problem, we focus on being just comfortable, or getting everything just right, we soon find ourselves we can become contained, and we live within those boundaries and those limitations that we set. And God has got a purpose for each and every one of us. You know, we've heard that many times. But whatever we are contained, whatever we control our circumstances, we'll never move on and fulfill the destiny that God has got for us. We'll never complete our purpose in Him. You know, just make a mental note of this, if you like to make notes or anything, or write things down, just jot this down. People that don't change are contained. People that don't change are contained. You know, I believe this series of teaching that we're starting to look at, and we started with last time, and we're going to develop as we go through. I believe it's a God-ordained message so that our boat gets rocked, in order to take us out of our comfort zone. It's to take us out of our nice and just right situations, so that God can bring us into something better, something greater, something beyond our dreams, something beyond our comprehension. Now that means change. That might mean a new direction. It might mean that at times we're going to be out of our depth. We may feel like our boat's not just rocking, but it's rocked us right out of the boat. And we're just floating around in open water. But it's during these times of transitions that God is working on us to bring us into something better. So let's read these scriptures. Isaiah 54, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says here, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations, and make the desolate cities inhabited." Now, do you hear those words that the prophet there speaks about? You know, we looked at last time, if you remember that verse 1 where it says, "Rejoice, sing for joy, you have not born." But listen, those words that the prophet uses here in verses 2 and 3. He said, enlarge, stretch, do not spare, lengthen, strengthen, expand. And then there's one more word there in verse 3, it says, inherit. That's talking about moving. That's talking about expanding. That's talking about growth. And none of that is containment, because containment is preventing growth, preventing movement, preventing increase. And God wants us to break free from those things that contain us. Now, this prophecy, which was spoken over the city of Jerusalem. It was a time of captivity, a time when majority of the inhabitants of Jerusalem were taken away into exile. You know, the king of Babylon and elsewhere, they came in, they attacked Jerusalem, they took prisoners, all those men and women, they took them back to Babylon. You know, we get some beautiful references in the scriptures to where God's people are in captivity, and they're recalling what it was like in Jerusalem. One particular one is Psalm 137, and For those of you that are old enough to remember this, there were a group in the charts, remember Boney M, they had a hit with this song, and in this Psalm 137 verse 1 it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." You know, God's people were remembering Zion. They were remembering where they came from. They were remembering that it was because of difficulties that, you know, they've been taken away into captivity. You know, Jerusalem at that time was empty of all its inhabitants. We've just finished studying Nehemiah on our midweek Bible study. We saw in the study of Nehemiah how Nehemiah was called by God to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Now this was during the captivity. He came from that place in captivity where he was. He came back to Jerusalem and he began to build. And in this prophecy, Jerusalem is likened to a barren and desolate woman without child. Now God's purpose and plan for Jerusalem was that he was going to bring back his children. He was going to bring them back out of captivity. And that's the reason Nehemiah was called to Jerusalem to go and rebuild it. Because God was preparing the city of Jerusalem to receive back her children. Up until this time, Jerusalem had been like a woman without child. A childless woman, a barren woman. So the prophet goes, speaks to Jerusalem. He says, look, he says, "Rejoice, O barren one. Sing for joy. Cry aloud. More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman." You know, you're going to have so many children, Jerusalem. Why so many? Well, first of all, everybody was going to come back. Now, there may have been a few that, while they were in captivity, had died. And you know, perhaps they died in captivity. But I tell you, there was a lot more born. Children were born while they were in captivity, and they were all coming back to the city. Now Jerusalem had to prepare for increase, had to prepare for expansion. That's why these words are spoken over Jerusalem, so to enlarge the place of their tent. And that's what we're looking at this morning. That's the subject of our message. It's enlarge the place of your tent. This was an instruction to Jerusalem to prepare for increase. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, I'm not an expert. There are at least three of you in the service that may have a little more understanding. Definitely two. Because you've had children. Your mothers. Now, I'm no expert on this, but you could tell me if I'm wrong. But I believe that when a woman conceives a child, everything about that woman changes. She thinks and acts differently. Before the baby's actually born, you know, while she's carrying the child, changes begin to take place in her body. Her body changes to adapt with this baby that's growing inside. Her body's preparing her for motherhood. Not only, not just in her body, but, and this is where the men come in, but other changes are made. Preparations are in place around the home. The bedroom might need to be decorated. She said, "We'll use that room for the nursery. Get it decorated." There's equipment that might need to be bought. A cot might need to be purchased. Some form of pram or pushchair. A whole host of different gadgets need to be purchased to sterilize the bottles and all manner of things. Maybe a change of surroundings is necessary. Maybe you need to move to bigger or get a bigger place. A bigger house, a bigger trailer. Maybe things you need to start thinking, well, what we've got isn't big enough. It might be all right in the first couple of months when the baby's small, but as it begins to grow and gets to be able to toddle about, it needs room to move. And what this mother's actually doing, not just in her physical body, but in the house and in her preparation, she's preparing for increase. She's enlarging the place of her tent. In other words, she's making room for the new baby, both in her body and in her surroundings. Now, in the scriptures, we read in this in verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Now, this word enlarge literally means to make room, just like the mother makes room for the baby. It literally means to make room or to make wide or make broad. And whenever you read this, often when you read this word in the scriptures, it's talking about land, increasing land, increasing territory. We read in the scriptures about enlarging your territory, enlarging your borders, enlarging your boundaries. The place of your tent is a reference to the location of where people live, a habitation, a location of a habitation. You know, the place of your, well, we don't live in tents so much now, you know. We live in houses, we live in trailers, we live in flats, we live in, they occupy a piece of land. Wherever we live, they occupy a piece of land. They take up land space. And that is the place of your tent. It's where you live. It's the territory you live in. Now, our properties have boundaries. And boundaries contain us. You might want to make a note of that. Boundaries contain us. You know, when Joshua went into the promised land, God gave him certain instructions. He told him he had to go and possess the land. He had to dispel his enemies. As you look at the early chapters of Joshua, you see that God began to give Joshua specific instructions. He says, these will be your boundaries. He says, you're not to go further north than this point. You can go right out westwards as far as the sea. On the east side, there was a boundary. On the south, there was a boundary, he said. God was marking out what we now know as the nation of Israel. And Joshua had to keep within those boundaries. Now, those boundaries were God's set boundaries. They weren't, Joshua didn't set them, he didn't make them. But he did have to go and cast out the enemies and take possession of everything. It wouldn't have been good enough for him to have settled in Jericho, which was the first place he came to as he came into the promised land. He had to extend his boundaries. He had to enlarge the place of his tent so that he encompassed all that God had purposed for him. Now, it would have been very easy because Jericho was a city that was a big city. It was a fortified city. And you know the story how Joshua and his armies, they marched around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day they marched around 7 times. And at the end of that they gave a great victory shout, and the walls of Jericho came crashing down, and they went in and possessed the city. Now, they could have stayed there, but they had a purpose and a plan. And they had to increase, they had to move on, they had to extend, they had to break free from their containment and go in and possess the whole land. You know, in the places that we live, as we've just said, they have boundaries. And normally, today, on the boundaries of our land, we put up things like walls, we put up fences, we plant hedges. We mark the boundary of our property, our land. And And if we cross the boundary, we're entering our neighbour's territory. These boundaries, within these boundaries, they contain our home, contain our garden, contain our way of life, the place where we live. Now in the natural, unless there's, you know, a legal reason for doing so, you can't just move your fence and say, well, I want to extend my garden by 6 feet, so I'll just take a fence down and move it. You can't just do that, because that's not your land to move into. If you want a bigger garden, or you want a bigger property, you have to move. You have to physically move property. Or you could do other things. If you need more garden space, you could knock down some buildings and gain a little bit, but you're still contained within the wall or the fence or the hedge that you put up. And very often in the things of God, we bring this same mentality. Oh, well, we can't move. You know, we can't extend. We bring that into the things of God, and we become contained by our limits. But I will tell you this morning that in the Spirit, in the things of God, you know, we don't have those boundaries. We can move a boundary. We can move a limitation. We're not governed by our circumstances, our situations, our feelings, our limitations. We're not governed by the things that are going on. When God tells us to enlarge the place of our tent, we can do that. Let's read in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 13. I want to read an account in the life of Abram. If I slip and use the name Abraham, you'll have to forgive me. At the point of our reading here in Genesis 13, God hasn't changed his name to Abraham yet. He's still Abram. But I may just say Abraham, but you'll know I'm talking about the same man. Now in this chapter, in Genesis 13, now, I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter this morning, but it is only 18 verses. But in this chapter, we see Abraham finds himself in a position where he feels contained. He feels shut in by his surroundings, shut in by his circumstances. He doesn't feel like he's able to move anywhere, and we're going to see what he does about it. Let me just fill you in. Abraham and his nephew Lot leave their home in Haran. You know, God speaks to them, tells Abram, says, this is in chapter 12. He says, Abram, he says, I want you to get up out of your father's place, leave your house, leave your family. He says, I want you to take you, your wife, I want you to go to the place that I'm going to show you. And Abram leaves Haran at the word of God. He takes his nephew Lot with him. His nephew Lot wants to go along. So Abram agrees and they leave, and they come to this place called Canaan, which is the promised land, God's promised land for his people. At a certain point in that time, they decide they're going to go down to Egypt, and they spent a little while in Egypt. But then God calls them back out of Egypt, and they come back to Canaan. That's what we read in verse 1. It says that Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him. Verses 2 is really interesting here. It says, in verse 2, it says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Abraham was blessed of God. God blessed him. God blessed Lot as well, because in verse 5 we see that Lot also had many flocks and herds and tents. So Abraham and Lot were both wealthy men because God had blessed them. They each had great herds, many livestock, gold, silver. Now it says in verse 6 of chapter 13, and this is an interesting statement made here in verse 6. It says, now the land was not able to support them. The land was not able to support them. I preached this message, or part of this, some of these things, a few months ago. And I remember asking the question back then, and I'll ask the same question this morning. How much land do two families need? How much land do two families need? The land was not able to support it. This land, the same land, was going to become, at some stage, the land that Joshua brings God's people back into. You know, God sets the boundaries and says, this land was huge. This was the place that God had always intended for his people to dwell in. And yet these two families, yes, granted they've got a lot of herds, they've got a lot of livestock, they've probably got a lot of workers working for them, caring for the sheep, caring for the cattle, a few servants, a few employees, maybe there's one or two family members as well, but still, how much land do these people need? And I think this statement here says the land was not able to support them. Well, Abraham was in the place that God wanted him. The place that God had destined for his people. Yet, it says it was unable to support these two families. The two families had grown and they'd filled the extent of their boundaries as far as they were concerned. Why? Because we give a little clue here in verse 7. It says there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites also dwelt in the land. See, the two families started to argue and fight amongst one another. And Abram and Lot, they agree that it's best if we separate. And Abram says to Lot, he says, you choose wherever you want to go in this land. He says, if you go that one way, I will go the opposite way. He says, you choose. The choice is yours. And so they agree. And verses 11 and 12 tell us that Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. Well, actually, verse 10 says he lifted his eyes and he saw all the plain of Jordan. He says that this plain was beautiful, it was well watered. It was a little bit like an oasis, because on the floodplains of the Jordan River, there's an abundance of water there. Everything was growing beautifully, it was green, there were trees. And as Lot looked, he saw, oh, that's beautiful. I'll go there. And so Lot chose for himself all this plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. These two families had grown and filled the extent of their limitations that they'd set. And they'd suddenly decided that we can't break free from containment, so we've got to do something. So in breaking free from their containment, they come up with this plan to separate and go their separate ways. What God then spoke to Abraham, we read in verses 14 to 16, And he says, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. The word of God came to Abraham, told him to lift up his eyes and look everywhere that his eyes fell upon, whether it was north, east, south, or west. God said, that's the land I'm giving you. God was telling him to enlarge his tent. He says, look, he says, everywhere you see, is yours. You don't have to be bound by these limitations you've set. He says, you can break free. You can go anywhere you like in the land. It's all yours. Then God told us to do something else. In verse 17 it says, I want you to arise and walk in the land. Walk through its length. Walk through its width. For I give it to you. Walk in it. Break free from your contentment. Break free from the things that hold you back. Break free from the things that prevent you from moving on. Now he says, don't just look at what's to come. He says, actually walk through the land. Walk in it. Put one foot in front of the other and move. Enlarge the place of your tent. Take possession of new territory. Look at what the Bible says there in verse 18. It says that Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. He moved his tent. He enlarged the place of his tent. For him, that was physically moving it. He didn't move to a new land. He was still in the same land that God had called him to. This was still the same place that God had instructed him to go to. All he did was broke free from the things that contained him. And he moved his tent. He moved his property. Now for some of us, maybe it's time for us to enlarge the place of our tent. Maybe it's time that we made room for God to move in a new way. We've got to remember that woman. You know, as she's expecting her baby, she begins to make room for it. Maybe God's shown us some things. Maybe God's promised us some things. We'll start to make room for it. Start to prepare for it. Don't limit God to conform to our way. Because we often do that as we examine our prayer life. We say, well, God, do this, do this, do this, do this. And what we, if we really examine some of the things we ask God for, we see we're telling God, I want you to work just like this. Do it just this way. Maybe that's not God's plan. Maybe that's not God's way. But we're asking him to conform to our way, rather than let him have his way. Make room for God to move. Now that might mean you've got to move some boundaries. You might have got to knock down some fences and walls that have been erected. You might have got to increase what we're believing God for. Broaden our vision. That's what Abraham had to do. He had to broaden his vision. He had to look and see all the land that was before him. Then comes the difficult one. Step out of the comfort zone. Step out of that. I mean, I touched on it last time, but step out like Peter. Step out of the boat and walk on the water. Walk in the land that God shows you. Start to prepare for new things like that woman prepares for her baby. Because as you do so, you'll start to break free from the things that contain you. You know those things that, oh, we can't do it like that, oh, I can't do this, I can't. That's a containment. That's a limitation on your ability. Maybe it's something in the past experience that you remember. You tried it once before and you looked at a fool, you looked at Burke. Did you try it, you stepped out and you tried to do something but everything went wrong and you thought, oh, I can't face that again. Well, that's a fear of a failure. And that will keep you contained. Maybe we just don't feel like it. You know, sickness contains us. It keeps us locked in that mental world. We're not right. Might be situations and surroundings might contain us. Now, some things we have to let run their course. You know, we can't just if we've got a responsibility to an employer or something, we can't just say, "Well, I'm not coming into work today," because you know, I've got something else I need to do. We can't just do that. You can do it one or two times, but you won't be doing it too much, because he won't have you there. He said, "Well," he says, "obviously you're never here. You're always," he says, you might as well go. So some things, obviously children, you know, we can't just take them out of school. So there's certain things we have to live with, but we need to learn to break free from other things that contain us. And allow God to have his way. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, God willing, next time we'll look at that next statement in that verse where it says, stretch out the sides. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. And we're going to look at stretching. Enlarging isn't containment. So let's be encouraged this morning to allow God to do something spectacular with us, through us, in us. Now we may not be big, we may not be, we may think we're insignificant, but God has got something for us. God's got something special in store for us. You know, God spoke to us 2 or 3 years ago in prayer time. And God gave us a vision or a word about the rain coming down. And in that vision, you know, just as it began to rain, everybody began to put up their umbrellas. You know, and felt God saying at the time that, you know, perhaps what we often do is when God begins to move, when God begins to send his rain, what we put our spiritual umbrellas to try and keep dry. But God doesn't want us to keep dry. He wants us to take the umbrella down and let God soak us. Let us get wet. You know, others that didn't have umbrellas, they ran into shop doorways to keep out of the rain. But God wants us to embrace all that he's got. Whatever we've got, an umbrella, a spiritual umbrella, or something to cover ourselves with, we're contained. We're not letting God do what he wants to do. So let's break free. Let's be encouraged to enlarge the place of our tent this morning, to break free from containment, and allow God to have his way in our lives. Amen. Praise God.